So what was it like to watch your first game at home, Jason, in 6 months?
Well, funny you say that, because the
You
first,
didn't.
well, the first quarter and a half I watched on television, and then the back half of the second quarter and the early parts of the third quarter I listened to on the radio.
Oh, is that why you were saying fuck the I-10 curve?
Yeah.
Right. I played golf Sunday morning up in at Carter Plantation up in Springfield, and I had to drive back, so I left in order to try to make it as soon as I can. So I got back, like I get back to the house, and the first play that I see here was a cadet fair catching the, well, not fair catching, but catching the
Oh.
kickoff when he was going out of bounds.
Oh.
And I yelled, like, "What the fuck are you doing, asshole?" And Renee's like, "It was so peaceful and quiet for the last 2 hours." The second I get home, I yell at the TV already.
Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk. Now, would you have believed me after our 0-3 start if I would have told you the Saints would be a legitimate playoff contender in the second half of the season? No? Well, that's okay. I wouldn't have believed me either. I didn't believe me. Remember when Mike was on? 10-6? But finally, we're getting what we've been asking for all along. A team that can grind it out against the good teams and who can pound the average teams into the ground. And speaking of the ground, for the second week in a row, the Saints evened out the play calling by running more, which helped propel the Saints to a 500 record and a new outlook on 2016 that's full of promise and has a little pep in our step. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Wow, you got a lot of pep in your step. You might want to settle down, man.
Hey, it's the first happy podcast we've been able to do in 3 years. I mean,
you want to burn?
It'd be
you
weird
want to
that
burn
we're
yourself,
not bitching about stuff.
You want to burn yourself out in the first 5 minutes? I'll go with the 2.
All right.
Yeah.
Celebration.
Now look, four previous times we had a bad start, we got back to 4-4, and each time we couldn't make anything
right
after that, but it seems
feels
like
different.
this team's a little different. There's just something different about them. So look, I was with Mike when we said 10-6 at the beginning. So yeah, it's definitely a happy time. Even though we gave up a ton of yards to San Francisco, dude, they went and won by what, 18 points?
Mm.
You know, on the road
against a team that may be slightly better than Cleveland, maybe.
But like I said in the intro, and we'll get into it in game recap, but you're supposed to do what you did. But and
sure,
we haven't been able to do what we're supposed to do for a long time. So the fact that we did what we're supposed to do is a good thing.
I'm happy. I'm happy where we are right now.
That's right. Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
I'm happy, Jeff. How are you?
I'm happy, too. When we said we were going to do I'm pissed off, there's been no reason for you to be pissed off.
That's right.
Except for Kansas City, I think. All right, with that, let's jump into the wonderful game recap. And yeah, I'm sitting here wondering, like, we're so conditioned to finding stuff to bitch about. But and I'm sure there's a few little things to fuss about in the game, but
Greg McMahon.
It's so exciting, right? It's so exciting
as a tradition.
To actually have Saints games where we can just kind of just brag a little bit and just be like, "Hey, that was awesome! Remember that? Remember the miracle catch that Michael Thomas made in the end zone?"
I hope at the end of the year we can look back on a lot of these games and say, "Remember?"
So far. So how good is Michael Thomas?
Oh, man.
Definitely hit on that draft pick.
Yeah. I mean, unbelievable. And he's such a good complement to the other two guys we have. I mean, this receiving core is just dynamite.
I agree, but I've said it before. Michael Thomas is special. Just, but whenever you talk about any Saints receiving core, I mean, you always have to remember who's throwing to him.
Yeah,
and really one of the greatest quarterbacks in history. You know,
special.
Definitely special.
Somebody helped. Somebody had tweeted us in between the shows, so it wasn't a part of Look at Him tweets last week. But he a couple weeks ago or something talking about Michael Thomas. No, I'm sorry. Let me back up. Now I remember. Last year, someone tweeted to us, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who it is. I know you can tweet us and let us know who you were. But they said something about how it would be nice if Drew Brees had, you know, a Megatron. You remember that conversation where we talked about
Drew Brees had a
Megatron or a Jerry Rice or an elite receiver like that? And Colston was good, but we meant a step higher than that. Could Michael Thomas? Is it too early to say? But is he showing early signs of being that level, like a Marvin Harrison?
Is it too early to say? Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, bet the mortgage on it. But that catch he made Sunday, I mean,
oh man,
between, you know,
a lot of interference on that. Why was no flag thrown on that too?
I think the
the
guy got there at the same time. I mean, I think the defender made a good play, and Thomas still just went over him and got the ball.
Right,
came down with it. That was amazing.
Absolutely amazing when I saw, like, I couldn't, I almost couldn't believe what I just saw. And it's a rookie. It's a rookie that made that play.
Right. This is only his eighth game. I mean, you have to imagine he keeps getting better.
Right. He's only going to get better. This isn't the best he's going to be. He's only going to get better.
That's awesome.
No, it's so nice to have a real receiver. I mean, I mean, we all love Devery and Malcolm.
You mean Meacham?
Meacham, that's it.
No, but they weren't on the level of
exactly. That was my point.
Of even you know Mike Thomas or Cooks. I mean, I think Cooks is better than both Meacham and Devery.
Yeah.
Cooks run precise routes now. You know, just
between Cooks, Thomas, and Snead being there. You know, in there.
Well, yeah. Yes. I mean, look, Snead is hella reliable.
That's. Didn't we say last year that was kind of the one thing that was missing from the receiving core was. Well, what was it? I want to say Cooks had to be your deep threat, but there was something missing from it last year, and it feels like Michael Thomas is filling that.
Well, clearly, I mean, shit. I mean, thanks, Captain Obvious.
I mean, come on. The Timu makes more points.
Timu completes more passes.
Has more passes.
But no, look, it's amazing. Look, I guess hand yoga pays off. I mean, this kid is legit. Every time you think he can't top himself, he comes out and gets a catch like this, and you're like, oh, like what's he gonna do next?
Catch more.
You know, like he's gonna make some other crazy play this year.
Fine.
He's gonna do something. We're like, you know, you're like, man, he's just great, and all of a sudden he's gonna do this, and you're like, oh shit.
Well, but also, and tell me if I'm going just overboard here, but you look at receivers like Odell Beckham. Okay, and I'm not saying Thomas is there yet or anything. But even last year or a couple of years, it's been 3 years now, when Beckham was a rookie. You know, wide receivers and cornerbacks have a special personality because they are on an island for the most part. But like Marcus Colston, the Quiet Storm, or, you know, Michael Thomas just goes about his business. He makes spectacular plays. He doesn't do a dance or...
He's got a little bit more confidence about it. Well, yeah, that is for it. But yeah, I find he is a little bit more vocal than Colston in general.
Anybody is more vocal.
Right.
Than
yeah. Right. Colston played it 10 years. I don't think I've heard him, you know, heard him say 10 sentences.
That's true.
You know.
Yeah, right.
Thomas is incredibly humble, and that's you know, that's great. It doesn't look like he's a diva, and he'll just let his stats speak for themselves.
Love it.
And how about Mark Ingram? I mean, my goodness, a fucking Hall of Fame, right?
Everybody was ready to quit on him. Everybody's ready to quit on him.
Well, that's what they said, that Peyton sat down with him in Hightower, had a little talk, and Hightower ran how many times before Ingram even got the ball? I think it was like 7 or 8 of the first 7 rushing plays that we had. It was all Hightower. And then Ingram, I think, gets 2, you know, decent runs, and then boom, busted out.
That
every time he touches the ball, 75-yard touchdown. Right. I never saw Mark Ingram run like that as a Saint. I was like, they're not going to catch him. Wow, okay.
I mean, he looked so fast. I was like, I didn't think he was that fast.
Now, let's all remember that San Francisco is the worst rush defense in the league.
Agreed.
Yeah, but that particular play was all Ingram, right? I mean,
well, I'm blocking and missed tackles.
But once he got outside, like he just went. I didn't think he had that speed in him.
No.
So it's scared for his job. Ingram is better than angry Ingram.
Yeah, I like that. That was a good tweet.
Look at that tweet.
But and that's why Peyton set him down 2 weeks ago.
Is it going to take this in order to get that from Ingram all the time, or is he woke up now?
I hope he is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, he's never going to be Adrian Peterson, but we don't need Adrian Peterson.
No, he gets hurt.
And there's still I mean, Hightower still had a good rushing game. I mean, 80 something yards and a touchdown, so he's still going to mix him in. It's not like, all right, well now it's just Ingram's job again. He's going to get the bulk of the work. They're going to keep splitting carries and look.
Which I've always been a little hesitant on that whole split and carries thing, because the old saying where, you know, Ingram is – I've heard the stories that Ingram is the kind of back that the more he touches, the better he gets. He needs 20 or something.
Yesterday proved that he didn't.
Yes. Of course, 75 of his 158 yards came in one play. But
well, and we're not going to get to play the 49ers every week.
Right. No. I mean, all you need to do is run hard and secure the ball. I mean, obviously, you know, ball security is the most important.
Mm-hmm.
You saw who knows how that's right. Who knows how that San Francisco game, I mean, that Kansas City game goes.
Yeah, if he doesn't fumble,
we win. That's how it goes.
Well,
yeah,
they're definitely a lot closer. But look, I've never been one who has disliked Ingram.
No,
I did when he fumbled in Carolina. I mean, against Carolina. That was the second week in a row. Yes, I did dislike him at that second.
you mean Seattle?
Against Seattle, right? I did dislike him. I'm glad Peyton put him on the bench at that time.
What about his comment that the audio captured?
Yeah,
I didn't hear that. It didn't.
It's on YouTube. It's on in.
Yeah.
Oh, it's everywhere.
That played on TV. I'm just glad it was him that said it and not like a white guy.
Drew Brees. That would have been awkward.
Right?
Awkward. Yeah, I mean, look, it's that locker room talk that supposedly is never talked, you know.
Right. But what was he saying, though? I mean, what was it like? I know what he said, but what was he? He's talking about the San Francisco defense?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, that's the question. You know, yeah, he's just fired up.
He's not mad and angry.
Yeah, he was fired up. I mean, that's all it is. He was fired up and talking shit. That's
all
right. It happens. People talk shit.
Right. If
you can't handle it.
I'm not trying to make a big deal. I'm just laughing at national TV.
Yeah. Right. Well,
whatever. Just ran for 75 yards. Okay, Ingram.
He'd say what he wants.
Whatever. He'd do what he wants.
But anyway,
the funny thing is, he was walking right next to the sound bowl, you know.
Right. I mean, if not it, the heat of the moment, he was talking, you know, which should have been a private moment. He didn't realize I'm picking him up. Don't have a problem with.
Well, there's no outrage over it. They just NFL just deleted it.
Yeah, but you know, like you said earlier, yeah. Look, you have to beat the teams you should beat, and you have to perform against them the way you should perform against them. And
right.
With a 32nd ranked run defense, we got over 200 yards rushing, right?
Yeah, we had like 248 yards rushing. I think that might be the highest in the Peyton era, I think.
Oh, it has to. I mean, I can't imagine any other game where we've had that much. I mean,
towards the end of the game, I'm like, give the ball to Hightower and let's get 200-yard rushers.
Right. It was a good game. Like I said last week, if you listen, I hate San Francisco. It's so nice to beat them. It's so nice to, after all those years of being beat by those son of the bitches.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the game felt good. Drew, I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
They're so, you know, Drew Brees with Drew fucking Brees. The receiving core looks great. Now, let's go to the defense.
I'd rather you didn't.
I just want to point out one thing. Stupar continues to play. Ooh. You're my boy, Stupar.
Dude, what a...
That was a forced fumble in there.
And I was still in the car when they fumbled it at the one, and Stupar called. Like, that was such an incredible momentum
play. You right know, the there. Defense, right. only, they may have let up a lot of yards, but they only let up 3 points in the second half.
Exactly, and that was going to be my big reveal. Thank you for ruining it.
Way to go, Jeff. It's okay.
Santa Claus isn't real.
You know, I'm okay. But that is the thing. So, you know, Stupar, the two plays he made
were stupendous.
Robertson
had the interception.
How good again, had he been?
Right. I mean, that was athleticism. I mean, you know, Kaepernick didn't throw a terrible ball there. That was athleticism. Again, Stupar, he knocked the ball out. That's, you know, it's not just some random fumble like an idiot. I mean, guys are playing. Guys are making plays.
It's funny, right, because like the whole time that, it seemed like San Francisco was moving the ball easily and at will all day until that third or fourth, like halfway through the third quarter. But it was no matter how far they got it, we just kept them out of the end zone. And that's what's important. Right. We only let up 23 total points, which we said 20 points was all our defense is going to give you.
No, that's – again, they gave up, you know, the stupid – that halfback out route. I mean, how do you give up a 70 yards? If they were, you know, come on, guys. You don't – you know.
Well, then there was that one, but then there was the one I listened to on the radio, the one over the tight end over the middle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where he just goes, I'm just listening to Henderson. I'm like, okay, it's a big 20-yard play because I'd noticed they were giving up decent-sized plays to the over the middle all game. And then, you know, I'm listening to Henderson. He's like, oh, yeah, he's big play down. And all of a sudden, oh, and he's at the 20. He's at the 15. He's at the 10, and he scores. I'm like, what the fuck?
Mark, what happened there?
Like, what the fuck?
You know.
Well, are you surprised a little bit? Are they having was it a little bit of an adjustment being made because Bro is in there now? I mean, is it different?
It shouldn't be. I mean,
But
No. I don't think so. And again, he was on a limited, snap count.
He didn't play all the snaps.
But it's,
that shouldn't have anything to do with tossing Bro out there, not knowing the safety, not knowing whether it was zone or man. Like,
right.
You got to know what play is called. Yeah.
That was a mess up that cost us.
It happens.
14 points. I mean, it made it closer than it really was.
Yeah, I mean, we're sitting here with the gigantic league, and I'm like, all right, this is going to be nice and easy. And then, those two plays just kept them. It just made them being still in the game. Like, what the fuck?
But okay, so let me.
But San Francisco couldn't piece together four quarters, and they fell apart big time in that fourth quarter.
Well, okay, you're right. San Francisco couldn't, but let me read you something. Let me learn you something.
Sammy, shut up.
The Saints' defense hasn't given up a touchdown in the last three games in the second half.
Wow.
What's that about?
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
I mean, I mean, are we making adjustments?
It's got to
at halftime.
Yeah, Dennis Allen. Who was one of y'all was calling for Dennis Allen's head yesterday?
That was me. Wow. After they gave up the two 70-plus yards.
After the two game. Busted.
Boy, you got a short leash, don't you?
Well, I wasn't calling for his head after the first one, but after the second one, I was calling for his head.
That's a player problem.
They have made, halftime adjustments. They gave up 3 points in the second half to Kansas City, 6 to Seattle, and then I think
three to
San Francisco. So whatever they're doing at halftime, it's been working.
I mean, that is impressive. And 6 quarters of play – giving up 12 points.
Well, not just impressive. That's impressive for any defense. But for this young group of ragtag kids that they just pulled off the street to fill in some holes for all the injuries, that's awesome.
No, you're right. True that. I'm a fan. I'm a fan. We all know that going in. Y'all listen to us know that. But it really gives me hope for next year and maybe even this year. Yeah. This is not a Super Bowl quality team, okay? Don't get me wrong.
Yet.
But, I mean, next year, next year I can see Drew still being Drew. And
you've said this too, though. If our defense, offense is Super Bowl quality, do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Okay. Defense only needs to be 2019, 18 to get there.
Yeah.
Maybe 15, 16 to win.
Yeah, but look, giving up, like, you know, what you talked about, the 14
yards
points.
486 yards.
Right, and those two big plays to make it a game at 28-20 going into half, I think, you know, you don't get away with that against good teams.
But they've shown to be able to clean up and respond, except for Bird. Sure. Everyone except for Bird.
Right. Well, even he made a couple of tackles yesterday.
Yeah, the last two games I've noticed him. But that's when they line him up close. He can't make an open field tackle.
No. Right. It does seem only when he's close to the line of scrimmage.
Or he's only got one open field tackle for the game, so it better be a good one.
But
Vaccaro's playing lights out this year. Maybe since his rookie season.
I mean, dude, that fumble, he just like, I'm going to take this ball. I'm just going to rip it right out.
And I love he got right under there.
I mean, look at that. The Saints 4-0 on the turnover margin. They're plus on the year so far.
Right. We're plus +4 on the year.
When's the last time that happened? I mean, 2009 was probably the last time.
Right. But again, that's winning football.
Yep. Opportunity.
That's winning football. So again, the defense still has, you know, a couple of warts, a couple of growing to do. But we're getting people back. The Rankin's first game. I don't know that he did.
No, he's,
what about Stephone? Keep going on Rankin's, but I want to ask about Anthony.
He's still, you know, knocking the rust off a little bit. I mean, he didn't play a full game. Neither did Bro. But
right,
bring him back slow. Bring him back slow. Eventually, he's gonna find it, because that's something we're gonna need from Rankin's. Because the reason why San Francisco was able to pile up so much yardage is that we really didn't have a pass rush, and that's really the. And, you know, we knew it going into the season. Like, the pass rush for this team is the real weak spot right now. If anything is going to hold this team back, it's the lack of pass rush.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I mean, Kruger's not doing much of anything. I mean, I think Jordan technically got the sack. The one sack? But, I mean, that's something that is really going to hurt this team. Look, if Kaepernick can pick him apart, you know, what's going to happen when you get – I mean, obviously I'm talking way ahead of out of my ass. But if you advance –
and to the playoff and playing a
and
good
they could go 10-6, right, and play a good offense.
Right.
You know,
well, Matt Ryan, though he has a noodle arm and shits himself all the time, he
might light him up.
You know, right. I mean, he, you know, and Julio Jones.
Right.
Atlanta's a passing team with the quarterback who shits his pants all the time.
So they got, well, like what the hell
happened? All the time.
Did Edabali even,
all the time. Every day.
No, Edabali did not play.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's back on the bench, where he...
Wow!
Well, no, but not because of performance, but
no,
because
right,
of...
injury. His injury came
back.
Right.
Okay.
Right, no, it's just time for him to retire.
Wait, who?
Edabali.
Edabali? He's young. Yeah. What do you mean, time to retire?
He can't get on the field!
No. You're talking about Ellerby.
Oh, yeah, Ellerby.
That's right.
I get my E's confused.
There can only be one E player.
Right. No, well, of course Ellerby wasn't fucking playing. I mean,
that's who. You remember when I was convinced that Ellerby played? It was
right.
That I thought.
Right. No, I agree.
Guys came back from broken legs, and Ellerby's, you know, is Ellerby. No, I was talking about Edabali. I mean, I don't know. is he injured? He's just on special teams now. But they got to find. I mean, maybe they can't fix it. This year, there's just no, you know, they got to address it in the draft. But I mean, the lack of pass rush is
it's week 8. Nothing's being fixed this year. I mean, you know, this is it. You know, these are the cards you were dealt.
This is it. Yeah.
But then, okay, and I know Jeff, you alluded to this a second ago. But right, but Stephon Anthony,
what's up with that?
What's going on? I woke up this morning and I got out of bed, had a big old cup of coffee to clear my head. Telephone rang and you wanna chat? Well, sit on down and tell me what's up with that. Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? He said, she said, we said, me said, what up with that?
So, I mean, because I saw a few tweets here and there, and some people were saying that, you know, they're just choosing not to play him at this point.
Right.
Now, I saw other tweets that were talking about, no, he's still got the lingering injury, so he's not ready yet.
I don't think he's hurt.
I don't think he's hurt. I mean, who the fuck knows?
Who would he come in for? Robertson? Who's playing great? Why would you take him out?
Well, no, you wouldn't play him over Robertson.
Who would you play him over?
I guess Stupar or Maui.
No, but Stupar.
Maui, yeah, but not Stupar.
Not Stupar. But, I mean, this kind of looks like – I mean, remember when Vaccaro got benched in 14?
Yeah.
When Vaccaro got benched and didn't play a few games, I think it's – you know, maybe a benching is what he needs to get his fucking ass going.
Benching?
Although it's just weird. I mean, he – you know, this he was so
you
good.
Ain't making this.
Right. I mean, right. Last year.
Right. He was so good at middle linebacker last year.
Right. 112 tackles, a sack, a forced fumble, you know.
I mean, whatever's keeping him off isn't his on-field play in the games. It's practice at this point, right? I mean.
I guess. I mean, right. Because he led all rookies in tackles last year. You know, he had, for all intents and purposes, a very productive and.
Yeah, a really good rookie.
Right, I you know, a very good rookie year. It'd be like next year Thomas disappearing.
Yeah, right. Becomes a.
I don't know.
Shut your mouth.
I see what
you. But like you said, I mean, but of course, Sean Payton. I don't. You never know if someone's injured or why. You know, I don't know. Just tell us, Coach Frick. Just tell us, man.
Well, look,
let us know.
Yeah, and look, I'm not. I mean, I don't think he's injured. I think they're just benching him because something's not working. But I'm not giving up on him. Maybe this year, but I'm not. I still.
Well, like you said, Vaccaro, you know, after a stellar rookie year, I mean, you know, the sophomore slump. I mean, they're the word for it or the phrase for it because it happens.
It's like Jovet doesn't know what to do when he gets a decent young linebacker.
Oh, I said, oh, we better beat this guy. Duh. Fuck Jovet. Have I said that tonight yet?
No,
not yet.
I don't think you have.
Yeah, he needs to be moved.
Among others.
Right. Well, okay, I'm sorry. Let's get back to the game and special fucking teams who continue to be a shit show in a dumpster fire.
No, jeez.
Like, why was Tommy Lee Lewis was inactive? He's not injured, right?
Who knows? Sean Payton won't tell you.
Didn't we just say that?
Who knows these things?
We can't just fucking fair catch punts anymore. We just...
Well, right. We either fair catch a punt on the 2 yard line, which you're not supposed to do, you know, or we try to run it at the 10, and then I don't know if we would just BSing or if we got this during the show
out of the end zone on a kickoff. You take your 25.
Right.
Take the 25.
Right. Or if it's about to go out of bounds at the 15.
Let it go out of bounds.
You get at the 40. He. I'm going to assume he did not know the rule. Okay? And look, don't be surprised that the rules, you know, that these players don't know. Well, Donovan McNabb several years ago famously didn't realize that a game could end in a tie. Gruden, last week. Right, he didn't know that, you know. So don't be surprised at stuff that these people don't know.
Well, they change rules every year, so you never know what's changing.
I guess, but...
But everybody knows that kickoff goes out of
that
bounds with a penalty.
That move, in my opinion, is on the coach. It really is.
The fact that Cadet gets so many plays in the game is just mind-boggling to me.
Did you say mind-boggling?
Yeah, you know, it's when Cadet gets all trapped in a bottle and thinks he needs to catch it right as he's running out of bounds. Like, that's so stupid. What Cadet is a blur. Cadet is just a blur. And yet he gets so many snaps. He's just a random nobody.
He's nothing special. He's nothing special. And
you get a goddamn job before sundown, or we're shipping you off to military school with a goddamn Finkelstein shit kid. Son of a bitch.
All right, that's all we're going to say about the game. That's all we're going to say about the game. We're going to move into look at him tweets. All right, so here we got a new Twitter follower from Gancho Briseño.
A new tweet?
Oh.
Gancho Briseño.
Another one of those foreign listeners. Really good. Right. I'll take another one.
Does it say where he's from?
Watch it be like, I'm from the West Bank, brah.
Right? How do you guys see some... Or no. Do you
With
guys...
My eyes.
Jose, can you see? Jose Gancho Briseño. Anyway, do you guys see some Colston and Thomas? How do you compare their rookie seasons so far?
I mean, we've mentioned it. I mean, they're both humble. I would say that's a comparison. But Thomas looks like he's even. Thomas looks like he's going to be better.
Yeah.
Is
That's big.
Well, and even Colston, I saw Mike Thomas retweeted it. Colston had posted something on Twitter talking about Mike Thomas about, you know, kind of praising him for what he's done so far this year.
And that's the most we've ever heard out of Colston.
Right, yeah, but, right.
Talking about Michael Thomas.
All right, next week.
I'm just curious. How tall is Thomas?
They did a picture, him and Cooks, and granted, Cooks is only 5'10", but dude, Thomas was
okay. Oh, is he? Okay? I mean, I just
he's at least
very tall.
Yeah, he's okay. At least 6'3".
Is he okay? So he is very much a Colston-esque receiver, except, you know, because Colston was tall,
but he's
6'3".
Yeah, no, he can actually get by. He can make nice quick moves and get by a guy. Yeah,
right. Yeah, a little more athletic than Colston. Mm-hmm. But Colston was just so
consistent.
Just,
you know,
was there, never dropped. Right, never dropped anything. Now, I'm sure during the game he dropped something. I cursed him out and called him a no good bum.
Oh yeah, sure. Especially his last 2 years.
You know, he dealt with a couple of injuries. I think as he got older, you know,
as they tend to do.
Right, get a little tread on his tires. All right, next one coming from Neil. Should I get a Cooks or a Thomas color rush shirt?
Thomas.
It seems like, I mean, look, they're both good.
Well, first of all, let's talk about this. Should he get a color rush shirt at all?
Yeah, those jerseys look nice.
All right.
Is it a shirt or a jersey?
No, it's a jersey. The color, it's the white jersey with the, like, gold, yellow that we're going to wear Thursday against Carolina.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I didn't realize they were for sale.
Yeah, I would say go for Thomas just because
the players wear them, so it's a whole new jersey you're gonna buy.
Yeah,
I mean, either way, I think both guys are gonna be here for the long term. So you can't go wrong with either one.
Yeah. It's just what number you like better.
Jeff, what would you do?
Okay,
I wouldn't buy. I'm not buying either jersey.
Well, but let's say you were forced into it. What would you do?
I wouldn't want to jinx it. Could I just get?
I'm asking you a answer. Goddamn!
If you had to make a choice,
answer the question.
I know what he's gonna say. All right, I'd get a Cooks jersey.
Go with Thomas.
Right.
It's just that simple.
Although Neil, if you do get a Cooks jersey, that means you can sport your Cooks boner. Every
right time. There you go. Although Neil was the one who tweeted during the game after that catch, that miraculous touchdown catch, he said Thomas boner. So now.
Oh.
Was that a shish? Did you shish us?
I did shish. Have you not seen that's what Michael Thomas does. You really didn't know that?
Oh, I didn't see that.
This guy is fucking stupid!
Do you not follow Michael Thomas on Twitter?
Yeah.
You clearly
do. Yeah.
Have you heard of this football team in New Orleans yet?
Right. Have you heard about this new receiver? He does hand yoga. Have you heard about him?
Anyway.
I'm looking at the color rush jerseys on Nike.com, and here's one NFL New Orleans Saints color rush limited jersey, Drew Brees. It really, to me, looks like a 1970s jersey. It looks like one of the throwback jerseys, really.
It is a throwback, but with, like, I have the Brees jersey that I have is like the throwback colors. Like, remember, we would wear like the throwback with the mustard yellow pants.
Right.
I have the black Brees jersey that's throwback, but this is a white jersey, but with that throwback yellow color. For the numbers, okay. It really looks good.
Yeah, I mean, just well, even with the on the arms, it has, you know, the stripes. I mean, it really looks like a, you know, it.
It really is a pretty nice looking jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, right. It is. Yeah,
can't go wrong. Again, so the answer is can't go wrong.
Right, just do whatever Jeff opposite of
doesn't.
Jeff. That's right. All right, so next week coming in from JTL, Jim Tan Laundry, cheap shot or brilliant move when the 49ers tackled our wide receivers with 8 seconds left to ensure the Saints would not get a touchdown.
Brilliant cheap shot.
Right?
Right.
Look, it's within the rules.
I was calling it a bitch move when it happened, but I would have done it.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, right. If one of the journalists, I use the word loosely, for the Times Picayune,
very loosely,
said that he saw the Saints practicing that in the offseason.
Ah.
It was a perfect. Obviously, it was a perfect time. I think we had 8 seconds on the clock. So, I mean, you know, for that play to be successful, there's really just only specific, you know, there's not a lot of call for that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you wouldn't do it if, you know, if there was more time. I mean, that was really just, you know, it has to be
situational football. It's
right. It has to be under 10 seconds within
half. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or the end of the game, depending on what you're. Well, you can't do it at the end of the game.
Right. You can't do it at the end of the game because even if the play runs out, you know, you can't end on a defensive penalty. It would come back. So,
That was the one.
Yeah. Yeah. Spot. Right.
I was bitter, but it was by the rules. So it's like, hey.
So, but
I mean, what better way to stop the Saints from getting 7 points?
Right. But do we get a rule? You know, a new rule for that somehow? Yeah.
I mean, they probably.
But you're playing within the rule.
You are now, but eventually stuff like this means like, oh crap, maybe we need to change the rule, like the overtime rule. What happened with us in Minnesota? They changed the overtime rule. I mean, look, they had three different holding penalties. It was so egregious.
Right.
You do something like that, they probably should do something. Maybe restore the previous time on the clock so they can run another play. Something simple as that.
Right, and I think, Jason, I think you're correct. I mean, like you said, while it's a brilliant move, it does not fit within while it is legal under the rules, it breaks the spirit of the rule.
Right. It's not the spirit of the game.
There you go. So cheap. So it's cheap.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, but...
Hey, like, it's perfectly legal. If we did it, I'd be like, fucking right, do that.
Right.
So it's brilliant.
Yeah, sure.
That's what you're supposed to then argue the cheapness. So it's cheap. So it's brilliant.
Right. If Sean Payton would have done it, it would have been the most brilliant thing we've ever heard of.
It's ambush.
This is wonderful. What a genius. What an outside-the-box thinker this man is. He is a, you know, true genius coach.
All right. Let's see. I'd say that's a bit enough out of look at him tweets for today.
I know Saints Fan UK tweeted. I don't know if it was at you or just at me, but he went to Universal this week.
Oh,
had to do all the Harry Potter stuff. Okay, just to me.
And then EJ actually did tweet. Remember last week how we asked everybody if you go to a game,
the flag.
Send your picture. So EJ sent a picture of himself at the San Francisco game. Hashtag something.
I saw it.
He actually hashtagged something.
he did say tweet something.
Right.
That's funny.
That was
good. You know what else? So my sister went to the game. She's now 2-0 in road games. And she wanted two of the worst places to go. She went with my dad. The Saints beat the Bears in Chicago a couple years ago.
Ooh, wow.
So she's watched win in Chicago and in San Francisco. I don't even think I would go to either one of those.
No. Did she tell you how her experience was? I mean, with anything?
I mean, she posted some pictures on Facebook with some friends. They seemed to have a good time.
Have you? Is that how you know she went, or has she actually spoken with you?
I mean, I talked to her before she left.
Okay, so you haven't spoken to her after the game?
No, I haven't talked to her since.
Okay. I'm just curious.
She might still be in San Francisco. But
I'm just curious because, again, after the playoff game in 2011, I mean, we heard
it was brutal.
How brutal it was on Saints fans there. You know, the San Francisco
fans might be a little more humble because they went into the game 1-6.
Well,
also, did you see the dude they showed on TV with no shirt and the curlers in his hair?
Yeah. He was a Saints fan.
I know. It's just like, oh, come on, guys.
But what were the curlers? I mean, was it, you know?
He had curlers in his hair. He had the plastic curlers in
his
hair.
I know. I saw him, but
I don't know what I've never seen a guy wear curlers like that. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, well, but again, was it?
Was it like
was
a
he
bit?
Really was it, right? Was it a bit or was he really wearing the?
I think it was a bit.
I think he did that
to get on TV. He's sitting where he's sitting, dancing like he's dancing. I think he did that to get on TV.
Yeah.
I hope. Maybe. Let me rephrase. I hope he did that.
Right. Anyway, I mean, you know, NFL is full of colorful characters.
All right. Let's move into Pick'ems.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game, and how you play it.
can stand it.
And if you can pay it, it's all about pain.
And who's gonna make it?
All right, how we do?
Well, we had our second straight week with a push. The Rams and Carolina pushed. Mm-hmm. The Rams were favored by 3, and they lost by 3.
I didn't know you could have pushes in pickups. See what I did there?
Yeah, whatever. So, God, I was really hoping the Rams could have fucking pulled it off. But, of course, it's Jeff Fisher, and his team is 3-5 once again. And yet he continues to get extensions, continues to coach.
Well, I've said this on the show. Why he's coaching, because he moved the team from one market to another before. He went from Houston to Nashville. So why change a coach with all the move and everything else going on?
They'll make that change.
It's my belief that the owner, ownership and management said, well, we're doing a lot here. Let's not rock the boat in coaching and let's, get some consistency.
Right.
All right. So, so I went 3-1. You two each went 2-2.
Oh,
Went 2-2.
We all lost the Tennessee game. At San Diego. San Diego had 2 defensive touchdowns. Melvin Gordon went nuts and they won. But I was the only one to pick the Giants against the Eagles. I won that game, and then we all won the Oakland game at Denver, and we all won the Miami game at the Jets. So the three of us, I'm in first at 20-22. Still trying to crack 500, unlike the Saints made it there. I am not. Damon, you are 18-24. And then Jeff is 17-25.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm sure, extended league, and I'll post the results. I could just take a screenshot and post them each week. But we've got Nier sitting at the top still, and followed by a little bit of a change at the top with Emmanuel.
Oh. Now,
and then Wheels, then Doug. So Doug dropped, I think, from third to fourth this week.
Trying to become the Butters of Pick'ems.
Well, what is his record?
19-20, followed by Saints Fan UK, then Jason, you climbing up, then Ed Hunt, Clint Fitz, Neil, Life of Ty, Jimbo, Rance, Preston Allen, Damon, Alex Barbie, me, Zano, Fuck the Falcons, Hootat, Nutsack, Triple D, Stud Farm, Dad to Twins, Whore Islander, EJ, Hungry Hootat, and A-Rod.
Did you get Mike Fuck the Falcons picks this week? I saw the picture that he...
Yeah, I actually gave him credit for him.
All right, good deal.
I believe him.
All right, so we have a slightly better slate of games this week. First game, the Kansas City Chiefs, the 6-2 Kansas City Chiefs, at the Carolina Panthers. So Kansas City coming off a closer-than-expected win against Jacksonville, against Carolina, who beat the Rams. So Carolina started 1-5. They've won 2 in a row, so back at 3-5. This game is in Carolina. And the Chiefs, The Panthers are favored by 3. Alex Smith was in the concussion protocol, did not play this week for Kansas City, but apparently he's going to start this week. So I really don't want Carolina to go on any kind of winning streak to get back in this at all. I want them to stay at the bottom of the division. I just don't want to have to worry about them. So I will go with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay. You know what? And unfortunately, I'm going to pick the Panthers.
Good.
Maybe I'm just bitter from losing to Kansas City in Kansas City, but I don't think they're that good.
All right, repeat that to me.
Remember the barbecue?
Yeah, I remember.
Kansas City at Carolina. The Panthers are favored by 3.
Fuck them, Kansas City.
Yeah, Damon still members that barbecue.
I have Kansas City's actually playing well. I can't believe that Carolina's favorite. Yeah, I can't believe.
Especially now, like I said, Alex Smith was in concussion protocol last week. He's going to be playing this week.
Carolina barely beat a
bad Rams team.
A bad Rams team? I mean, that's amazing. I'm assuming it's in Carolina.
Yeah, it's in Carolina.
I mean, so they're just getting the regular win. But anyway, fuck Carolina. Right. Fuck Cam Newton.
All right, our next game, it's kind of a biggie. Interconference biggie, the Seattle Seahawks at the New England Patriots, a rematch of the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
That's a Sunday night. It's going to be fun.
Seattle is currently beating Buffalo 28-17 in Seattle. Jimmy Graham having a good game. Fuck him. But New England was on a bye this week. New England's really is the cream of the crop in the NFL right now at 7-1.
I'm going to take New England.
This game is in New England, and they're favored by 7.5.
Yep, I'm going to still take New England.
That is so many points.
New England's defense is not very good.
Right.
Well, Seattle's offense is not the strength of their team.
This is true. I'm taking New England also. And this, I mean, look, their scoring defense has been number one since 2012.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Seattle's.
Yeah, Seattle's. I want New England to crush them so bad.
7.5, you said?
Take New England.
8 points. That's a lot of points.
Oh, man.
I mean, I bet the average win in the NFL is under 5.
Well, you know what, though? I'm going to take New England because they want to buy this week, so Belichick has had 2 weeks to watch the Seattle game.
That's why I took them.
That's Bill Belichick is the equalizer.
Bill Belichick.
And former Patriots coach Pete Carroll coming back to New England.
Yeah.
He did coach Spencer. Okay.
And Seattle's flying across country. You know, they always...
Yeah. And fuck Seattle. All right, next game. The Minnesota Vikings, suddenly losers of three in a row?
Yeah.
Man.
From 5-0 to 5-3.
Yeah.
They're the anti-Saints.
At the Washington Redskins, coming off a bye after playing in London last
week.
This game is in D.C., and the Redskins are favored by 2.5.
Really?
Ooh.
Blair Walsh continues to miss kicks for Minnesota. Who knows how long?
Guy was one of the... I read earlier that they're trying out kickers. Guy was one of the best, you know, a couple of years
and
then, in. And now
like, remember, look, he shanked that short one in the playoffs last year against Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah. So 2.5 points, okay.
2.5.
Skins are getting 2.5. I think I've picked against the Skins every time, and I picked for Minnesota, and I think I've lost. So I'm going to go with Washington. Do opposite.
Okay.
Because they have won more than I thought they would in Minnesota.
I'm going to take Minnesota in this one because I actually think Minnesota wins the game.
Washington's offense is good, but Washington's defense is not good. I mean, God.
But Minnesota's
kind of reeling.
Well, right. They lost North Carolina. Yeah, they lost North Carolina. They're done offensively, and Bradford. He is resorting back to his.
He's fine. He's only good for a few games.
All right. Who thought he was?
All right. Well, yeah. But I'm going to go with Washington.
All right.
In our next game, it's a classic NFL matchup, a matchup of probably the two biggest fan bases in the NFL, dating way back to the 70s. The 7-1 Dallas Cowboys. 7-1. At the Pittsburgh Steelers. Roethlisberger came back, wasn't really himself. They lost to Baltimore, which was a little surprising. This game is in Pittsburgh, and the Steelers are favored by 2.5.
All right.
Pittsburgh
is favored by 2.5.
That makes it an easy pick.
Yeah, I'll take Dallas and get the 2.5 points.
Right.
Same here.
But look, that's what they want you to do, though. I mean.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, look, I'm going to go.
I mean, what can you do?
Pittsburgh.
I mean, look.
I'd like to badmouth Dallas, but I really can't.
I know.
Look, if Roethlisberger was 100%, I'd roll with Pittsburgh here. But I just like Pittsburgh's defense isn't really that good.
Right.
And Roethlisberger, it's 70%.
Right.
He's just not good enough.
And I mean, he's the last guy. I know he's an older quarterback now. I mean,
you know what? I hate to admit
a couple of games a year.
Hate to admit that part of the reason why Dallas is good. I mean, we all know the whole Dak Prescott stuff, but it still that they invested in that offensive line for 7 years.
100%. 100%.
Zach Martin, Leroy Collins.
100%.
It's amazing how no matter what change you can make to the NFL, that has been the tried and true thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, again, it's an old saying. Whoever wins the trenches, that's who wins.
100%. I mean,
it's that simple. Mm-hmm. When your quarterback has all day to throw and
even
your running back has, you know, LeSean McCoy. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Hey, look, when the Saints go 10-6 and they travel to Dallas, I wouldn't be scared about playing against Dallas. I think they could beat Dallas. I think that's the ideal situation. That's looking way ahead. Forget
but anyway.
Moving on to the shitty game of the week.
piece of shit car. I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far.
Okay.
All right. We have a shitty fucking matchup. A matchup of former NFC Central opponents. Remember when each conference only had three divisions?
Yeah, I remember.
Chicago. They were on a bye this week, but they won last week. Surprising win last week. At the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, coming off a loss on Thursday night against the Falcons. Scoring a lot of points, but still losing. Mike Evans was in the concussion protocol, so I don't know what his status is currently, but this game is in Tampa, and Tampa is getting a point at home.
Oh, boy, this is a tough one.
Yeah.
What about if you could pick a tie?
Oh.
If you pick push, can you?
Pick puss.
Crush puss.
Crush it.
Ooh, Tampa Bay.
Right. I mean, Chicago's bad, but dude, they beat, you know, like when they won on Thursday night against Minnesota, you're like, holy crap, what happened?
But Minnesota isn't Minnesota that, you know, they were the first five games.
They're not, but I mean, it's still Jay Cutler's Bears. They stink.
I will take. I'll take Tampa Bay and be happy if I'm wrong.
Okay, then just for separation, I'm going to go with Chicago.
Oh, okay. For extra separation, I'm going to stick with Tampa. Separate from you. I'm not worried about Damon. I'm going to separate from you.
Really?
Why? Actually,
Damon's closer to you.
Oh, yeah, shit.
You want to change it?
Well, Damon and I currently have every single game picked.
Yeah, you sure do.
All right, Jeff's going on his own on two.
I'm going out of my own on three against.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I'm gonna switch it to Chicago.
There you go.
Excellent.
So either I'm at three
come
up on
to
Damon
the dark side.
All right, well, there you go. There's your pickups.
All right, now that does that. Remember to tweet in your picks before the games start at noon time Central.
Fuck the Falcons. Take a picture and tweet that.
Right. And hashtag pickems. If I don't favorite it, then I haven't seen it, and feel free to retweet it on Sunday. Sometimes, though, I don't actually record them until after the games anyway, but as long as you tweet it before the games start, we're all good. Let's move into Saints Preview. All right. So next week, the Saints are home against Denver.
Yeah, Denver coming up a loss last night to Oakland.
That makes me feel good.
Well, I kind of would rather them win coming in. I don't want them pissed off.
I thought the same thing.
Well, they could just dejected and just fighting with each other now.
But, I mean, look, it's going to be a similar game as Seattle. A really great defense and a mediocre to poor offense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Denver is right now. Look, their defense is going to be great. I mean, the offensive line is going to have to hold against Miller and Ware. They did have a bunch of guys out, like Ajib Talib was out.
Their offense is not mediocre, by the way. Their offense is bad.
Okay. Yeah, they also did, C.J. Anderson's out for the year, so they're relying on Devin Booker at the running back. Although, again, San Francisco's offense was bad, and they put up 400-something yards against us.
Right.
But look, this is, you know, if the Saints come with the right game plan, this game is winnable. You know, kind of do the same thing.
This is going to come down to the matchups and the individual matchups. Like, how is our receiving core going to match up against their secondary?
Well, look, if Ajib Talib is out, I mean, I would put it on our receivers. The key is going to be, look, the offensive line has played really well this year. Armstead, you know, got hurt again. He's not going to be 100% at all this year. I just assume sit him out. Just play. Look, he's played well on the left side. But, you know, if they can contain Ware and Miller, then they should be okay. You know, that's the biggest worry to me is Ware and Miller.
Mm-hmm. And our defense pick up a few turnovers.
Well, I mean, that's possible.
Dude, how awesome would it be for, like, a pick six in the dome?
Oh, with Trevor Siemian back there. I mean, there's already questions of whether or not they should bench him and go to Paxton Lynch because you know, Siemian got off to a little bit of a hot start, but he struggled the last couple weeks.
Yeah. I'd love if they went with Lynch.
Well, I'd kind of rather go with – I think I might be more scared of Lynch than Siemian.
Oh. You're not scared of Siemian.
You're not scared of Siemian. I've seen you.
I'm never scared of you. Yeah, I'm never scared of it. Shoot it all the time.
So the funny thing is the last three times the Saints have played the Broncos, we've lost. In 2004, 34-13. In 2008, 34-32. In 2012, 34-14. They have scored 34 points every time for the last three times we played them. Too bad this time they're going to score 20 or less.
Well, in 2012, we didn't have our coach.
I know, but I just found that interesting, 34 each time.
Yeah. Well, much like Seattle has beaten us every time, you know, the last several years. So I say we break that streak this year. And
the revenge tour.
Yeah. Let them come to the dome.
Yeah, look, I mean, look, the offense is rolling right now. I mean, they're playing great. The line has been playing really great. They just have to continue to hold up and not... Can't allow Denver's pass rush to get to Breeze. That's going to be, you know, if Saints lose, that's why.
They won't. Score prediction.
Wow, that's quick.
Oh, sorry. Do you have more?
Well, I don't really have much to say. I mean, you kind of said it all. Jason Wright, it's going to be...
Okay, well, how many...
We're in Miller.
I mean,
plus, we're at an hour and 15 minutes already.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, look, we've had two games this year.
And I know he's going to talk about the Cubs.
Of course. Well, the visiting team has brought in a lot of fans. Oakland brought in a lot of fans. Seattle brought in a lot of fans. How many Denver fans do you expect to
see? I don't. I expect you'll see more than you would normally see just because Saints fans. Well, I don't know. Now that they're starting to win now, four of the last five games, Saints fans might not sell their tickets. But I don't think you see as many Denver fans strictly because I don't. Does Denver travel well?
I mean, Denver's a pretty. Denver's won Super Bowls. They're pretty. Big
but do they travel well?
Franchise. Well, think about it. They also had Peyton the last couple of years. They probably gained a lot of fans the last handful of years.
And those fans left with Peyton.
No, I don't know. That's a good question. People, don't give away your tickets. Go to the Saints game. Show up in the Superdome.
Yeah, please. Please.
Support the team.
Yep, we need you. The season's not over.
Even though we'll scoff at you for being fair weather fans.
I will every week.
We'll take
fuck
you back.
Yes.
We'll
take
you
back.
Yeah, fuck you. You sell your tickets? Fuck you.
Right, but then if we want you not to sell them, we want you in the game, so we can tell you fuck you to your face.
Right, right. You go to the bathroom in the third quarter, and Jason says fuck you.
That's right.
I've seen him do it to an elderly man and his grandson.
There you go. His grandson. All right. Score prediction, Jason.
All right. I will go. Oof. I will go 27-13. No, 27-17. Saints.
I'll go 31-24.
All right. And then only because they scored 34 against us the last three times, I'm going to say Saints 34 this time. Denver 14.
I like your optimism.
Yeah, you know, poetic justice. Okay, that being said, Jason, final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Holy shit, what a week.
Don't let anyone say that it's just a game, for I've seen other teams and it's never the same. When you're born in Chicago, you're blessed and you're healed the first time you walk into Wrigley Field. Our heroes wear pinstripes, heroes in blue, give us the chance to feel like heroes too. Forever we'll win. And if we should lose, we know someday we'll go all the way. Yeah, someday we'll go all the way.
Saints won, LSU lost, didn't matter. The Cubs fucking won the World Series. First time in 108 years. Cubs won the World Series. Game 7 was just insane. Me watching it was insane. I was like curled up in my couch like a Freddy Cat ball. And, oh, God, it was
like a Freddy Cat ball.
I mean, look, I was so nervous the whole game. Like from inning 3 on, it was just like I was pacing for a while. Then I was sitting on the couch curled up just like, oh, God, I don't want. Like when Cleveland tied the game, I'm like, I'm like, just don't do this to me. Just don't do this to me. Just an incredible game, an incredible playoff run. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of Cubs fans here in the area growing up watching, you know, the game as kids on WGN and whatnot. But just crazy. I mean, 108 years, curses and all this kind of shit. And it's just, you know, the first year, it's kind of like, you know, like the first year of the Saints. Like the first year you win a title after so long, like nothing's ever going to be this again. Like just the first time. And like I know people, like even Kendall. Like Kendall's the most diehard Saints fan I know. But when I talked to him before, I ran into him before the Carolina game, and he's like, if the Cubs win the World Series, that's better than the Saints win the Super Bowl. I'm like, I like the Cubs, but not quite that much. Like comparing the two, I still put the Saints first. I mean, clearly the Saints. But look, the Cubs have had a longer drought. It was incredible to watch that, and you just feel, you know, the fans that have waited so long.
It felt a lot like, and I could, not a huge baseball fan, but I was certainly cheering for the Cubs, and that was.
I mean, it really was. And then you see, videos of like 80-year-old grandpas just sitting in their seats, and they watch it. Like,
you see the guy who watched the game over his dad's grave.
Listen to it on the radio, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing. Like, the Saints were winless for 40 years. 108 years for the Cubs. You know, I mean, you've got a guy that's 85 years old, lived his whole life, was a fan, and was like, this is never going to happen. And to finally have it happen, you know, like
a guy that died like a couple hours after it or a couple days after it or something, too.
And just, I mean, look, as obviously,
a lot of
people
died a couple days after.
I was going to say, people die all the time, right?
Yeah. But look, you know, like as Saints fans, like how awesome it was for us to be like a sad sack NFL team for so long to finally do it was just incredible.
There you go.
No, so, being the sad sack was not awesome.
No, but it was
opposite of awesome.
Well, right, it sucked, but to finally win it was great.
Sure.
And look, I went to Chicago in August, went to a couple of games, and you know, I've been there before, and I've been a fan for a while, and just to finally have it happen, and then to watch, you know, like Bill Murray's. The biggest no, fuck you.
Right, come on. All right.
One last. So to watch Bill Murray, who's a lifelong Cubs fan, to watch him interview the guys in the clubhouse, just pouring champagne overware and asking them questions was just
yeah. Gave me a hard on. Big deal.
It was just an incredible week.
Cubs owner
for you. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
It was exciting. It really was.
Yeah.
Damon.
All right. All right. I'll stick with Jason's theme here of sad sack losers.
Oh, God.
No idea.
Talking about Jeff. No. The current longest playoff streak in the NFL. These are playoff victories. 1990.
Was the last time the Bengals won a playoff game?
Game?
Yeah.
Wow.
25 seasons. 1990. What the?
Hey, look, the Saints went 40 years without winning a playoff game.
No. The Saints went
2067 to 2000. So what is that?
Not
33.
Right, 33.
33.
Yeah, except they call us when you go 34 years.
Detroit comes in at second at 24 years. Buffalo comes in at 20, and it's so funny because they had just went off. They went to four straight Super Bowls, and then you
never again. Like that four straight Super Bowl losses will destroy you for 100 years.
Right.
I really don't like if the Saints went to four straight Super Bowls and lost. I don't think I can handle it.
I don't know. No. Watch football anymore.
I'd quit. You'd have to quit. You know, and the sad sack Cleveland Browns. It's only been 18 years. You know,
mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then Super Bowl winning droughts.
I believe it's the Cardinals, right?
Well, the Super Bowl, I mean, is technically just 50 years, you know.
Well, we know the Falcons have never won.
Right. I mean, and that's the thing, you know.
Minnesota.
I don't care.
Yeah, I mean,
right. I don't care how many NFC, you know, or NFL championship game, you know. Everything starts with the Super Bowl, okay? I mean, that's just right.
Yeah.
Everything starts
probably,
with the Super Bowl.
But
if you want to talk about
it
any
got real, right?
if you want to talk about any championships, then it's Detroit with 58 seasons under his belt. Last appeared in a the NFC Championship game in 1957.
Yeah, I mean, they've never made it to a Super Bowl.
Right. The teams that have never made it are...
I mean, yeah, I know there's a handful, but obviously, like, Jacksonville's never made it.
Jacksonville, Houston, Cleveland, Detroit. Never made it. And then, of course... Yes, only four. Hmm. And then, of course, you have Atlanta Falcons. They did make it, but, of course, they've never won it.
Right.
Teams that have never won it, Cincinnati, Atlanta, Minnesota, Cleveland, Buffalo, San Diego, Tennessee, Philadelphia, Detroit, and Arizona.
Philadelphia's never won. Excellent.
Yeah.
So, hey, but Minnesota is the biggest loser by 0-4, right?
Well, Buffalo went 4 in a row and lost.
Right, right. They went 4 in a row and lost.
So those
two, we just talked about that.
I know, right? But you know. But 4 is, like, 0-4 is the biggest. Like, there's no one 0-5.
No. Okay. No. So
thank God the Saints aren't on that list.
And Pittsburgh has the most, right?
They do with 6.
6, yeah.
And then how many appearances? I think Pittsburgh's also got the most appearances, or
whatever.
They might have 8 appearances. I think Dallas might actually have the most appearances because they went.
Yeah, they did go a bunch of times back.
Yeah, that's when they became, you know, the
America's team.
Right.
Well, look, one team that did make it, Atlanta, they just signed their GM to a nice 3-year extension.
Oh, good.
So, right.
That's that weird guy with the weird haircut. I mean, what
the weird haircut who rides bikes and looks like a douche.
Yeah, total douche. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good job, Atlanta.
He's the reason I quit wearing visors. Sean Payton's the reason why I started. He's the reason why I quit. All right, anyway. You done with that final thought there, Damon?
Yes.
All right, we're done with this week's show. And that is all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Don't Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Don't Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, lovable loser donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation. You can catch it all.